Rimmer lurched happily down the corridor.
"It's a funny thing," he slurred. "Even though I've had so much to drink, I'm in total confac of my mentalities."
"Where is he?"
said Lister, tugging the ring pull on another bottle of self-heating sake. They'd be back on Earth in 3 months, and they'd spent the day celebrating down in the Copacabana Hawaiian cocktail bar. The evening had gurgled by in a blurry haze of ever more elaborate cocktails before either of them had realized the cat had been missing for 2 days. Lister had led the drunken safari up to the habitation deck to find him. There were over 3,000 separate sleeping quarters on this deck alone, and they had looked through more than half of them before they staggered into Petrovich's old room. The two lockers had been pulled away from the wall, and in a crudely chiseled recess was a stack of game headbands. Petrovich, the high-flying, career-minded leader of A-Shift, had been smuggling better than life. The cat gently rocked on the sleeping quarters armchair, giggling insanely. The silver headband glimmered menacingly on his head, the electrodes buried deep inside his brain. His face was painted with the vacant grin of the lost soul of a gamehead. The three of them sat around the banquet table in the baronial hall of the cat's fantasy, as Crichton recounted how Lister had followed the cat into the game.
"But better than life's addictive? I knew that."
"You were drunk, Mr. David. You thought you'd be okay just to go into the game and tell the cat what danger he was in. But once you'd linked up, you didn't come out."
"What about me? Why did I go in?"
"You were drunk too. You said you had the willpower to drag them both out. And that was the last we saw of you."
Crichton told how they had wandered around Red Dwarf in the twilight zombie state the game induced. How he'd done his best to feed them and keep them from harming themselves. But over the months, the cat's and Lister's bodies had begun to wither. How in desperation, he'd begun lasering the messages into Lister's arms to warn him of the danger. This had distressed Crichton greatly. It was built into his software that he mustn't harm human beings. Months of cajoling by Holly had finally persuaded him that not to do it would hurt Lister even more. But still, the three of them remained in the game. In the end, Crichton had no choice but to enter himself.
"But that's stupid. You'll get addicted too."
Crichton shook his head.
"Holly was right. I'm immune."
"Immune? Why are you immune?"
Crichton cracked his face into a hollow grin.
"I'm a mechanoid. I don't have fantasies the way you do. I have very few expectations or desires."
"Very few? Then you do have some."
A Valkyrie appeared, bearing a brand new, freshly wrapped squeezy mop.
"Only one," said Crichton,
accepting the gift and tearing off the paper.
"Oh, wonderful. A squeezy mop. Just what I've always wanted."
The windscreen wipers patted the snow into neat white triangles on the Model A's window as the car grunted past the white-coated sign, Bedford Falls, 2 miles. He was leaving the game. It was easy to leave the game, easier than he'd have thought. First, you had to want to leave. And of course, to want to leave, you had to know you were in the game in the first place. Then, it was only a matter of finding an exit. Just that, a door marked exit.
"And where are these doors?"
he'd asked Crichton.
"It's your fantasy. They're wherever you want them to be."
So there it was. All he had to do was imagine an exit and go through it. He'd pass through the exit and find himself back on Red Dwarf. Once back, he could remove his headband. No, destroy his headband. Destroy them all. Then start the long haul back to health. But it was an individual matter. They all had to create their own separate exits. Alone. You're born alone, you die alone, you leave the game alone. The glimmering lights of Bedford Falls twinkled in the valley below, as for the last time, he made his way down the hill to his personal Shangri-La. There, in the middle of the street, a pink neon sign hung over a shimmering archway. There was his exit, just as he'd imagined it. On the other side was reality. It started to snow. Christmas Eve. He couldn't leave them on Christmas Eve. But of course, in Bedford Falls, it was always Christmas Eve.
Red Dwarf, Infinity Welcomes Careful Drivers, was written by Grant Naylor and performed by Chris Barry. Additional music and effects were by Nick Graham. Technical presentation by John Etchells. Produced by Chris Wallace.